welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Mark, we're always looking for better ways to make diagnosis, and particularly for common ailments like community-acquired pneumonia. Listeners will know community-acquired pneumonia causes lots of morbidity and mortality. It's a pneumonia that involves pulmonary parenchyma, and it is something that is acquired in the community as opposed to the hospital. An increase in the concentration of serum proteins, often collectively called acute phase reactants, accompanies inflammation and tissue injury, specifically like community-acquired pneumonia. It's important to sort of remind ourselves that these acute phase reactants also accompany chronic changes, things like infection, trauma, infarction, inflammatory arthritides, autoimmune disease, et cetera, et cetera. The most common of these acute phase reactants has been the ESR, the erythrocyte sedimentation rate. It's an indirect acute phase reactant. It reflects plasma viscosity and the presence of acute phase proteins, particularly fibrinogen. There are a bunch of others. We're not going to review them, but some of them increase slightly, like the ceruloplasmin and several other components of the complement cascade. But a couple of these, like C-reactive protein, can increase a thousandfold, making them potentially very useful in clinical medicine. So you found an article that was published in Academic Emergency Medicine 2020. For those that want to look it up, it starts on page 195, and it attempts to answer the question, how accurate are biomarkers, things like C-reactive protein, procalcitonin, leukocytosis, in the diagnosis of community-acquired pneumonia in adults? Mark, is this a useful tool?
Well, I think it does have some potential value. So this was a study, full disclosure, that I did with my graduate students. We've been doing a series of systematic reviews on both the physical exam and biomarkers for diagnosis and prognosis of acute respiratory infections. We kind of made a grid and are kind of working our way through a series of systematic reviews. And this one was of any biomarker, but it turns out the ones that we found the best studies and the most data for were CRP, C-reactive protein, procalcitonin, and the white blood cell count. We did the usual systematic review methodology, quality assessment, and so forth. There were 14 studies with a total of 6,600 patients. Half were in the ED, half were in the primary care setting. Of the 14 studies that we found, 8 were low risk of bias, which is good, and the rest were moderate risk of bias. We set our study up to only include studies with prospective data collection, a decent reference standard that all patients got. So that helps assure that all the studies are at lower or moderate risk of bias. Overall, so we found the leukocytosis was actually not very helpful. It wasn't that helpful when it was elevated, and it was totally unhelpful when it was normal. You could still have a pneumonia. Procalcitonin was helpful when positive. If it was greater than 0.5, likelihood ratio was 8. If it was greater than 0.25, likelihood ratio was 5.4. So that's pretty helpful if it's positive. Trouble is, it's kind of an expensive test, hard to get at the point of care. CRP was just as accurate as the procalcitonin, and in terms of the area under the ROC curve, that's one of the measures we use. And so CRP greater than 20, and especially if it was greater than 50 or 100, really helped to rule in pneumonia, whereas a CRP that was normal, less than 10, was helpful at ruling out pneumonia. The negative likelihood ratio was about 0.27. So I think the bottom line, CRP could have a role at the point of care. It's widely used at the point of care in European countries and some Asian countries. It's not widely available at the point of care in the U.S. because it's not CLIA waived yet by the FDA. But I have had indications that that may happen in the next year or two. I know that they're trying to do that. And we've been using CRP in our large respiratory study we've been doing, and are actually in the process of analyzing data to see how well it predicts a bad outcome or a serious outcome in patients with a lower respiratory infection. So test to keep your eye on and to keep in mind as a possible adjunct to your clinical decision-making when you're talking about community-acquired pneumonia diagnosis.
So two quick questions, Mark. First, once you get a C-reactive protein and it's markedly elevated, can we have confidence and begin treatment, or do we then need to get an X-ray? In other words, is it a screening test that leads to further diagnostic testing, or is it the nail that allows us to begin treatment?
Yeah, I think it depends on the patient and the setting. So if you are in a setting where it's easy to get chest X-ray and the patient maybe doesn't look that much like they have pneumonia and the CRP is unexpectedly high, then it might be worth an X-ray. On the other hand, if the patient looks otherwise like they have a pretty high risk of pneumonia based on their physical exam, their presentation, and or X-ray is hard to get, then I think it could be, if I had a patient that looked like they had communicated pneumonia clinically, they had a CRP of 60, 70, 80, 100, I would be comfortable starting an antibiotic in that patient.
Next question, just quickly, does a CRP change quickly enough so that we can follow it in terms of prognosis?
The CRP is built in. There have been several European studies using CRP to identify patients who are at low risk for a prolonged or severe or complicated course of a lower respiratory infection. So it appears that among patients who come in with a chest cold or a chest cough, who don't have pneumonia on presentation, a low CRP predicts patients who are going to get better relatively quickly, whereas those with an elevated CRP are at greater risk for a more prolonged course or having to come back or maybe requiring an antibiotic at some point. So it probably has some prognostic value as well.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again in a week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem. Thank you.